British Sky Broadcasting presents Bob Hope, Bing Crosby and Dorothy L'Amour in Road to Morocco. Directed by David Butler. Music by James Van Heusen. Voiced by Neville Watchhurst on behalf of MCS Agency. The Universal Studios logo unfurls. A Paramount picture. Copyright 1942. Steaming across a calm sea suddenly explodes.
Ang barko ay sa kapitan, alam na pumutok, ay lumubog sa malapit sa Apika, ang sa lahat na nasanit,
Tuck in, come here, keep dancing portion.
The newscaster curiously attaches to his lapel a large badge reading, I am Chinese.
Граждане Советского Союза, внимание! Только что получено известие, что у берегов Северной Африки сдан грузовой пароход под названием «Звезда Каптауна». Взрыв произошел при совершенно неизвестных обстоятельствах. Вся команда парохода спасена за исключением двух безбилетных пассажиров «Зайцев», личность которых совершенно не установлена.
Flash. The freighter Star of Cape Town was sunk today off the north coast of Africa by a mysterious explosion. All hands accounted for, with the exception of two unidentified stowaways.
Bob and Bing sit on a classic raft in mid-ocean.
Look at us. Two in a raft, sunny side up. I'll tell you how to get home, you said. We'll stow away, you said. No, sir, I said. Don't be a sap, you said. No, sir, I said. We're stowing away and that's that, you said. No, sir, I said.
What a brilliant conversationalist you are.
I took one look at that crate and I knew it would blow up in our faces.
Wait till they find out who was smoking in the powder room.
Never mind that now. Look at us. Food gone, water gone.
Hey, what's that bulge in your pocket?
Old tobacco pouch. It's
tobacco.
The water.
When did you start smoking a pipe?
Ever since this morning, cigarettes make me nervous.
You just went down to the store and got yourself a meerschaum and some tobacco. Huh?
Yes, I did.
You know, nice. It's clever. Come on. Dig. Hand it over here. Let's see. Come on, reach.
Oh, I forgot.
Surprise, huh?
Yeah, I figured two of them for one of us is better than one of them for two of us. Yeah. Here, you can spit your teeth in there.
Just dunk it lightly. Well, Junior, we gotta face it. We may be days and days and days without seeing a ship or land. We're gonna get hungry, mighty hungry.
What do you mean, get hungry?
We'll toss a coin. What's the date?
1910.
Pretty close, 1911. Well, that's the way it goes. Somebody loses, somebody wins.
Okay, so you win the nickel. See if you can find any white meat on that buffalo.
I got a TL for you. We tossed for something much deeper than that. I remember a story once about two fellas like us. Castaways. They tossed a coin, too.
Uh-huh.
They figured there's no use both of them starving.
Well, naturally.
The fellow who survived used to tell his grandchildren about his pal's sacrifice.
That's very it. Wait a minute. What pal's sacrifice?
I don't know, though. You should have eaten more oatmeal when you're a kid. You're kind of scrawny. There's no firmness there. I don't think you'd do me more than a week, and there's no icebox aboard.
Jeff, you're losing your buttons. You mean you'd eat me without vegetables?
Calm down now. Calm down, Junior. I'm not going to do anything right away. I might not do anything for a week or so. Not until I get desperate.
Oh, Jeff, you wouldn't like me once I bit my tongue and I tasted awful. Help, Jeff. Don't.
Turkey, look. Am I seeing things?
What?
Look here.
Land!
What is that over there?
Land! We're sunk! Hey! A submarine! Hey!
Man the pumps!
They jump in such glee that their raft disintegrates. Jeff carries Junior up a sandy beach. He finally wearies of carrying his companion and drops him.
Last stop. Got a stone in my shoe.
Hey, wait a minute.
A fine pal. All I hope is that Aunt Lucy's looking down from above and seeing the way you're treating me lately.
Are you going to start stuffing that Aunt Lucy down my throat again?
Yeah, well, never mind. She saw you tossing that coin and licking your chops. You're certainly sloughing off your promise to her. Aunt Lucy. I can see her now lying in her dying bed looking at you with those big trusting eyes. Before I go, Jeff, promise me one thing, she said. Promise me you'll always be a friend of little Orville, she said. No matter what happens, you'll never leave the little jerk, she said. Promise me, Jeff. Promise me, she said.
Yeah, and then she up and died before I had a chance to say no.
Shh.
Oh, you're shushing. What's that? What's the matter?
Shh. I hope she didn't hear that. The dead have a way of coming back, you know.
Get out. When they're dead, they're dead.
Not Aunt Lucy. She was a Republican.
Okay, Junior, I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have said that. All right. You know how I feel about you. I guess in my own way, I sort of love you.
A camel bends down and nuzzles Junior's cheek.
All right, but you don't have to slobber all over me. Guess I kind of love you, too.
The camel, unnoticed, kisses Jeff.
Yeah, now wait a minute, Junior. Stop kissing me.
What are you talking about? I didn't...
You did, too.
Look, are you crazy? I don't mind being kissed, but this is ridiculous.
The camel again.
There, you did it again.
I did not.
You didn't?
No.
Well, I felt something. Something like a wet paintbrush.
You did? I did, too. I thought it was you.
And I thought it was you.
It nibbles Junior's hair.
You see? Aunt Lucy's come back. You did it with all that disrespectful talk. Aunt Lucy. What's that?
What's the matter, you yeller?
It's only a kangaroo.
Yeah.
What are you getting scared for? Let's take a ride. This is probably one of the... Oh!
Good girl, good girl.
They ride across sand dunes, Junior at the back.
You think we got enough gas?
I got a carburetor cut down to nothing. Where do you suppose we are?
This must be the place where they empty all the old hourglasses.
I think this is what's left after I clean my spinach. Hey, look.
We could have thought of another way to get us here.
Here we go again, Junior.
We're off on the road to Morocco. This taxi is tough on the spine.
Beats the bus, huh, Junior?
Oh, beats me.
Where we're going, why we're going, how can we be sure? I'll lay you 8 to 5 that we meet Dorothy L'Amour. Off on the road to Morocco. Hang on till the end of the line. I hear this country's where they do the dance of the seven bales. We tell you more, but we would have the censor on our tails. We certainly do get around. Like Webster's Dictionary, we're Morocco bound. We're off on the road to Morocco.
Look out!
Well, clear the way,
yes.
Cause here we come.
The men eat fire, sleep on nails, and saw their wives in half. It seems to me there should be easier ways to get a laugh. We're off on the road to Morocco. And somewhere I feel kind of numb. For any villains we may meet, we haven't any fear.
Paramount will protect us, cause we're signed for 5 more years.
We certainly do get around.
Like a complete set of Shakespeare that you buy at the corner drugstore for $1.98.
We're Morocco bound.
Or like a volume of Omar Khayyam that you buy at a department store at Christmas time for your cousin Julia.
We're Morocco bound.
They continue across the sand towards a walled and minareted town. Nearing one of the town gates, they're distracted by a young woman in a veil passing on a donkey. They bash their heads on the top of the gate and fall from the camel. The young woman casts a look back towards where they are sprawled. Jeff helps Junior to his feet with a comic flourish, and they mince arm in arm through the gateway.
What if you get a hand out in this bird? Oh, I'm starved.
That guy wasn't looking. I'd eat a rug.
Plane?
The bustling marketplace is thrown into confusion and panic by an inrush of Bedouin horsemen toting rifles. Jeff and Junior cower in front of a pottery stall. Hanging earthenware pots smash under the hail of bullets. Jeff takes cover.
Orville! Where are you?
Right over here behind these goose pebbles.
Reckon there's been some sort of a shooting ruckus down at Buckeye Saloon, huh?
Yeah, I ain't looking for trouble, partner, but if trouble comes a looking for me, I'm gonna be mighty hard to find.
Say, Fuzzy! Huh? Who is that headstrong, impetuous boy?
He is Mule Kasim, the desert chick.
What did he come to town for, a manicure?
Oh, he loves the Princess Shalmar of Karamish. He's come here to ask her to marry him.
I'd hate to be around when he comes for a divorce.
Orville flicks the man's beard.
You short of blades? It's a strange country, Buster. It's a strange country.
Yeah. A veiled woman passes.
Well, not too strange.
It's food we're after.
Yeah, that's what I say. Food.
Yes.
Food. Stallholders offer them bread.
No, thanks. We ate 4 days ago.
I wish I had my drool cup with me.
Jeff points to a simpleton helping himself from a stall.
What is this? Free cold cuts, everything on the house.
Well, what are we waiting for? Shangri-La.
I'll be praised, brother.
We'll get loaded. This is living.
Hey, what's the idea? The other fella did it. Why can't he?
Allah has seen fit to dim the light of his wisdom. To us, such unfortunate ones are sacred.
Well, I don't think that's...
Jeff seems to have had an idea and beckons Orville mysteriously to one side.
Hey, what's the matter? What are you doing? What are you looking at me like that for?
Turkey, from now on, you're sacred.
What do you mean, sacred?
You just became a full-blooded American idiot.
No, you do it. Who's going to believe I'm an idiot?
Well, you look at the head start you got. Now, all you got to do is go into a shop, put on that silly look, and talk like this. Now, watch.
I take some of those, and I'll take some of these, and some of those.
Let me have that slow.
Like this. I'll take some of these, and give me a few of them there, and
You feel all right, Daddy?
Let me hear you do it now. Come on.
I'll take some of those, and some of those over there.
That's great. That's wonderful. First shop we go into, the guy will probably load us up and throw in his daughter. Come
his
on.
Daughter?
Yeah.
I'll take some of those.
Careful
and some of those, too. Give me some of those over there.
Save it.
You want them, too?
Okay.
Jeff leads Orville into a shop. Orville is putting on a very non-PC performance.
Well, can I know for you, gentlemen?
Go ahead. Tell him, Junior.
Yep. I bought from the boat, and from the boat, and from the boat.
Yeah. And you making fun of me?
Oh, no. I always talk like this.
Oh, you do, huh? Well, why do you?
Oh, because I can't help it. I'm an idiot. I'm sacred.
No. No, you're saying I'm an idiot, too.
Oh, well, if you think you're an idiot, I'm not going to argue with you because
what's
I...
that?
I just don't care. Okay. Okay. I'll take some of those. And some of those. Some of those.
Orville emerges, clutching his bashed head.
Well, what do you think of that?
How do you like that? Jeff! Jeff!
Orville's attention is taken by a group of 8 bare-chested, scimitar-wearing men who pass by carrying a curtained palanquin chair. It pauses by Orville, and a bejeweled hand extends from between the curtains and caresses his arm and pulls it inside. Orville blinks and smiles in a mime of delight. The bejeweled hand gently pushes Orville's arm out again, leaving him inspecting his own hand in bemusement as the palanquin moves on.
Mother told me there'd be moments like this. I wonder how she knew.
Hey, Turkey, where you been? I've been looking everywhere for you.
Do it some more.
What's the matter with you?
Do it some more. Kiss it again.
That guy hit you with a piano? Hey, come on. Snap out of it.
Well,
hey.
It's a strange country. A minute ago, she came along in a gold box. Fellas carrying it with sticks. She took my hand, kissed my fingertips, my knuckles, my wrist. My toes are still braided. Oh, it was wonderful. Do it some more.
Hey, come on. Now, you're delirious. You need something in your stomach. Come on, boy. You'll be all right. Come on, boy.
Here we go.
They sit in a restaurant.
Hey, how do you figure on paying for all this?
What, are you scared? You got red blood, ain't you?
Yeah, but I don't want to get it all over strangers.
Go ahead, eat up, son. I'll think of something.
These guys don't monkey around. They got knives. They're liable to try and get the food back the hard way.
You have already eaten to the amount of 230 kolaks. You have money to pay, yes?
Yeah, we'll pay when we're through eating. Put it on separate checks, too. Oh, and bring us a couple more portions of those jellied turtle eggs.
Yes, and the turtle that laid them.
Bring her in.
And don't be afraid to spread a lot of pixie dust, double layer.
You have already eaten 6 portions.
Oh, can we help it if we're turtle-like fiends?
First chance we get, we better dash for the nearest exit.
Yeah, but how about that guy's knife? We're gonna look silly stumbling out of here on a set of stumps.
Have a nut burger. Forget about it.
I can hardly wait for the dessert.
What are we having?
An imposing man in a fez enters and stares at them.
Say, what do you usually tip, 10%?
Let's not spoil it.
They clock the man, who beckons with one finger. They each mime, assuming it is the other he wants. He makes a dismissive gesture and then points more clearly at Jeff.
Go ahead, Buster. Blubber wants to talk to you.
Let her go, huh?
If he gets tough, don't worry about a thing. I'll be right here, under the table. Buy a rug for me.
Orville prepares to tuck back into his meal, but pauses suspiciously and looks across to where Jeff is in conversation with the man, who points back towards Orville. The man holds up 5 fingers. Jeff walks away. The man holds him back and gestures 20 with his fingers. The pair shake hands, and the man reaches into his bag for banknotes, which Jeff accepts with relish. Orville's face is a picture of outraged incomprehension. Jeff sweetens the deal for himself by reaching into the man's jalaba and fishing out a large cigar.
Garçon! Who is that, the local bookmaker?
Here's 287 kolaks for the little snack, and 5 for you. Get yourself a facial, huh?
Well, come. That little Orville in on this deal, how'd you get the spinach, old boy?
That's a funny thing. A guy I never see before in my life gives me 2,500 kolaks. That's 200 federal diplomas. Are you listening?
200 skins? Why? What for?
I sold him some.
Well, you've got nothing to sell. We've already hocked your pivot tooth.
Well, it wasn't much, but it was all I had, and was he anxious to get it?
What did you sell him?
Look, Orville, I want you to keep very calm now and don't get excited.
What did you sell him?
You.
Oh, well, for a minute,
Me?
Wait a minute. Get that guy and give him those fish back. What's the matter with you? You can't sell me. I'm not a horse. It's just the way I comb my hair.
I know, Orville. You and I know you're not a horse, but these people are peculiar, right?
Well, what are you talking about? You going nuts? Why would a guy buy a guy?
I don't know. They buy anything, any old junk.
But you can't do that to me. You can't sell me. You don't own me.
Well, no, not now. No, he does.
Well, why would he buy me? What does he want me for?
I didn't ask him.
Wait a minute. You sold me to a zombie like that, and you don't even know what he wants me for?
You gotta be careful, Turkey, when you're dicking with these people. You gotta knock them off while they're hot.
Do you know why they buy guys in a country like this? For slaves. They hit you with whips, they put you to picking cotton, they beat you, and they beat you.
They don't pick cotton here.
Well, they beat you for whatever they're picking. I know. I saw Uncle Tom's cabin twice.
Now look, will you relax a minute? I got this thing all figured out. See,
yeah.
I got plans.
But
I got the guy's address, and I'm gonna get you back. And when I do, we'll be right where we are now, only 200 bucks ahead. What's that, nothing?
Well, that's something that might work
out.
And 100 of that is mine.
That's what I'm telling you.
Well, come on, put me in the higher brackets.
There's no use giving it to you now. If anything goes wrong with my plans, why, the money'd be wasted.
If anything goes wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting out of here, see? You might have sold me, see? But you're not going to deliver me, see? Because I'm not going to be here, see?
Wait, I don't have to deliver you. They're coming to pick you up.
Coming to... What? Pick me up? Well, who do you think you're playing with, children? You're talking to Turkey, the man with the muscles. Wait a minute. Turn the lights on. Wait a minute. What's doing here? Wait just a second. And Lucy! And Lucy! The least you could do is wrap me as a gift.
Two large men carry Orville off with a sack over his head. Jeff lies in a Spartan room, sleeping seemingly without a care. A kind of mist appears and resolves itself into Aunt Lucy, who is Bob Hope in drag.
Jeffrey?
What? What do you want?
You're a naughty, naughty boy. You shouldn't have done that wicked thing to little Orville. You must find him, Jeffrey. You must find him at once and bring him back. Oh, I'm so distressed.
Well, I didn't know Aunt Lucy. Honest, I didn't. The fellow I sold him to was only a jobber, and he resold him later at a profit. He wouldn't tell me to who.
To whom, Jeffrey? To whom?
Yes, ma'am, to whom. But I still don't know where he is.
Well, you've got to find him, Jeffrey. Little Orville needs you.
Well, what can I do, Aunt Lucy? I've been looking for him for a week.
Jeffrey, you remember that song you used to sing? The one Orville loved?
Which song was that, Andy?
Oh, you know, ho, ho, hum. You hear me shouting, ho, ho, hum. Zoot! You remember. We'll go through the street singing that song, and little turkey, Time Norval, will hear you and reveal himself.
Might work. Might work at that. But look, Aunt Lucy, you being up there and all, you must see everything. Gee, you could save me a lot of trouble if you just tell me where he is.
Oh, I'm not supposed to, Jeffrey. It's against the rules.
Oh, come on, Aunt Lucy. Gee, I won't crack to nobody.
Well, if you go to the marketplace, then head east about 200 paces, you'll come to... Oh, I can't talk to you anymore now, Jeffrey. Here comes Mr. Jordan.
She floats away.
Aunt Lucy! Aunt Lucy!
Jeff walks through the town in a dapper suit and fez.
Ain't got a dime to my name. What a terrible shame. Ho, hum. Ho, ho, hum. Just found a hole in my shoe and my stocking shows through. Ho, hum. Ho, ho, hum. I know that when you're as free as a bird in a tree, life is a wonderful whim. Look at the crank with his dough in the bank. Don't you feel sorry for him? Rolling along at a loss, never gathering moss. Ho, hum. Ho, 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 hum. Take it.
Jeff does a heel-kicking dance to the accompaniment of Aunt Lucy's harp.
I've no terrific success. I ought to worry, I guess. Oh, hum. Whoa, 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 hum.
A woman gazes from her balcony.
I like a shady old tree. What's the matter with me? Oh, hum.
Aunt Lucy's thunderbolt stops him pursuing the woman.
There's nothing quite as grotesque as a man at a desk looking outside at the sun. Shirts made of silk and a diet of milk. Maybe he thinks he has fun. I've got the vagabond itch. Guess I'll never get rich. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho.
Jeff stoops to pick up a screw of paper which has landed at his feet. Inside is wrapped Orville's locket of Aunt Lucy. He looks up at the minarets against the starry sky. He reads the note.
Dear Jeff, flee for your life before it is too late. You can't do anything for me now. If you stick around, you will only get us both into trouble. Maybe killed. Leave the country and forget you ever knew me. Say nothing to nobody about this. Flee. Flee. Respectfully yours, Turkey Jackson. P.S. I am being tortured day and night. Flee. Flee, F-L-E-A. That's Turkey, all right. Don't worry, old boy, I won't let you down. I'll get you out, all right.
He trots across the square and shins up a massive creeper growing up the wall of a building. He pulls himself up onto the top of the wall. He finds himself overlooking a courtyard. A tree grows in the center. He leans across in an attempt to reach the tree, but falls 20 feet into the flower bed. He gets up, holding his aching back. He pauses.
Constantly I look for you. No day or two, but constantly.
He hides as two huge harem eunuchs walk past. Jeff walks inside.
And it isn't magic, and you do exist. For after all, I know when I've been kissed, and you were meant to be my heart's delight. Not just tonight, but constantly.
Jeff stares in at a boudoir full of dancing girls.
Constantly I look for you. No day or two, but constantly.
His eyes widen as he spots Orville reclining with the singer.
Constantly I wished you near. And now you're here, so close to me. And it isn't magic, and you do exist. For after all, I know when I've been kissed, and you were to be my heart's delight, not just tonight, but constantly.
She kisses the inanely grinning Orville.
Well, that's pretty good. What kind of an animated esquire is this? Leave the country and forget you ever knew me, he says. Flee, he says. Say nothing to nobody about this, he says. Flee, he says. Why, you dirty double-crossing hoarder, you... Turkey, this is me, Jeff, your friend. Say something.
Turkey?
Oh, the fellow is mad. Take him away. Toss him to the crocodiles.
Hey, he's my friend, I tell you. Tell him who I am, Turkey. He's just joking. Let me go.
Wait. Do you know this man?
Oh, well, I never saw him before in all my life.
Why, you dirty, underhanded sickle snoot. We were kids together in the same class for years. Until I got promoted.
Bah. Let him go. Leave, all of you. You stay.
Oh, but hon.
Come, sit here beside me. Now, Orville, I want you to tell me the truth. Do you know him?
Well, I used to, but I kind of outgrew him. I don't dally much with riffraff these days, and he's a pretty raffy kind of a riff.
Yeah, what?
Why didn't you tell me you had a friend in Karamish? And such a friend.
Oh, so you didn't tell her about me, huh?
Well, I didn't want to dick her too much. You might have queered the deal.
This kid can't handle competition. You can understand why, can't you, ma'am?
Yes, I can. Here we have a proverb. A goose is beautiful until it stands beside a peacock.
Say, goose... what are you made up for, anyhow? What is this, ladies' night in a Turkish bath or something? What time do you light up, Jack?
It might interest you to know, Buster, that you're now looking at the future prince of Karamish.
Who?
I'm going to be a pasha, with an accent on the pash.
What?
We're going to be married on, when is the big day dream thing?
When the moon in its last quarter silvers the blossoms of the almond tree. That's Tuesday night about 9.
Oh, drat. I shall be listening to Hobby Lobby. Say, how can a dream like you go for a drip like this, anyhow?
It is written in the stars. I've been counseled by Haider Khan, the wise one, to take this man for my husband, and I must obey.
Yeah. Well, all I can say, old Haider Khan must have been out of focus at the time.
Oh, is that so? Well, the nuptial knot's practically tied, see, and there's nothing you can do about it, see? I'm her Heathcliff. She bought me for 200 skins, and it looks like I'm going to get your money's worth.
She bought you? Where did she meet up with you?
She's the dame I told you about in the gold box with the sticks. Come on, baby, give your little princey a big kiss, king size.
Orville kisses Prince Shalmar. Jeff does a double take as he notices Orville's curly-toed oriental slippers straightening themselves out.
Now kiss him on the nose, see if you can straighten that out.
Oh, my.
Well, this defeats me. I gotta give you credit, though, Junior. You certainly did all right for yourself. To show you there's no hard feelings, I'm gonna stick around for the wedding. I'll even give you away.
Oh, now, just a second. You've already given me away. Just because I hit the jackpot, you want to stick around and pick up the nickels, huh? Well, come on, blow before I press a button and have your head served up in a cup and a saucer.
Oh, wait a minute. Quit shoving or there'll be a room full of teeth around here.
Now, listen, I'm talking nice to you, but you better get out of here before I forget that I'm the prince.
Jeff petulantly rips off one of Orville's fancy sleeves.
Do that again. He did it.
Gentlemen, please. What is your name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, I want you to stay here with us.
Oh, well, I think I could be very happy here.
Oh, come on, honey. Daddy's tired. It's getting near my bedtime, and I have to catch up with my reading.
Good night, Jeffrey.
Good night.
Orville gets between them and escorts Shalmar away. Orville now lies on a couch, being pampered from all angles by a bevy of beauties. One paints his toenails, one sprays him with perfume, another strokes his head.
Do it some more, do it some more. Come on, Bob, rub.
Why is the princess going to marry you, Orville? She was to have married Mullah Kasim, the desert sheik. Why has she changed her mind?
Oh, I guess sheiks have gone out of style. What the modern girl wants is a nice, reliable wolf. Do it some more, do it some more. I'll get you time and a half for overtime.
There's something very strange about it all. Something very, very strange.
Yes, it's a strange country, baby.
Orville.
Huh?
If this were known, it would mean my death. But in my heart, there's a great love for you.
You too? Say, if this keeps up, I'll have to buy myself a scooter.
Is my love hopeless? Or do you perhaps have some crumbs of affection for me?
Oh, you know how a prince is. Later on, I may set you up a little hat shop or something. What a racket.
Jeff enters.
We're trying a new shade tonight, Nightingale's Blush.
Nightingale's Blush. That's sweet. You get a complete recondition and guaranteed job, and you'll still look like a warthog. Come on, gal, get a breath of fresh air. Go ahead, beat it. Scat.
Just a second. I'm giving the orders around here. Besides, she's only done 9 toes.
Oh, she can do the other 3 later. Yeah. Go on, I want to put him under the dryer. Beat it.
Oh, just a guy. Girl.
Break out in a rash. You'll spoil him. Go on, beat it.
Jeff spots a row of nodding heads on stone plinths.
Who are these Christmas tigers? Who are they yesing?
Oh, the princess's old man used to use this for a courtroom. He never lost a case.
That's very nice. That's nifty. Now, look, Puffy, I want to have a talk with you, man to man.
Yeah, who's going to hold up your end? I'll see you in a couple of weeks. I have no time for riffraff.
I think you're pretty cute, don't you? Sending me that note. They're torturing you night and day. Get out of town. There's nothing I can do for you.
Huh? That's right. There is nothing. I can handle it all myself. Now, look, Buster, I want you to leave. I know how you operate. I don't want a best man. You figure you move in, huh? You figure maybe you'll wind up the prince.
Could be, could be.
Yeah, well, you're taking a powder, see, and you're taking it right now.
That's gratitude, huh? That's nice. You seem to be forgetting that I'm the guy that sold you into all this. Now you want to toss me out.
Oh, don't give me that. You thought you were selling me into picking cotton with whips.
Here, now, wait a minute. Hey! Wait a minute. Where do you think you're going? What's in there?
Oh, it's nothing. Just my lady's boudoir.
My lady's boudoir? What are you doing going in there?
It's a strange country, chum. It's a strange country. Oh, find my friend Mr. Peters' little corner to sleep in over at the snake house.
You big phony.
Go ahead, Buster. Get yourself a rattle to play with.
It's a nice parlay from you to the snake.
Cuddle with a cobra. Happy fangs.
Now, wait a minute. You can't do this to me. Bye, fellas.
Jeff waves to the nodding heads as he is dragged away. Orville preens a bit in the mirror and then walks off towards the boudoir, jauntily playing with a yo-yo. 2 eunuchs prevent him entering the boudoir. Shalmar sits at her mirror, the servant who earlier declared her love to Orville combing her hair.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hair. Certainly know the right thing to wear.
Shalmar crosses to the balcony in delight.
Moonlight becomes you. I'm thrilled at the sight. I could get so romantic tonight. You're all dressed up to go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. And what a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight, although moonlight becomes you so.
She runs to join him below in the garden.
Moonlight becomes you. What a beautiful view. Moonlight and you. You're all dressed up to go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. And what a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight. Although moonlight becomes you so.
By now, he is holding Shalmar's hands and standing close, cheek to cheek. Orville sleeps in a luxurious bed. The servant girl runs in.
Orville! Orville! Wake up! Wake up!
Okay, Ma, I'll get a job tomorrow.
No, 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 wake up! Wake up!
What's the matter?
The princess is unfaithful. She cares nothing for you.
Look, I'll see you in the hat shop later.
No, listen! At this very moment, she and your best friend are on each other's arms in the gardens below.
Yeah, well, What?
Yes. Look.
Why, the low-down, filthy, double-crossed centipede trying to climb into my shoes and pull the roof in over his head. That's what he's trying to do. Why, the crawling lizard. I'll show him what a salami has got to go through.
No, no, no. Don't waste your anger upon them.
Ah.
Let us fly. Let us fly together.
Okay, but let go of my landing gear.
You and I, thus. And thus. And thus will my love consume you.
She kisses him.
From manufacturer direct to consumer. I go! Excuse me.
Beloved! Beloved!
Thus. I go.
Say, let me ask you something, Princess. Suppose you sort of put off this wedding for a little bit, and I sort of hung around a little bit, and you grew to like me a little bit. Wouldn't that change things a little bit, huh?
No, Jeffrey, it would not. I like you now. The more I get to like you, the more reason I will have to marry Orville.
You like me, so you're going to marry Orville. Boy, that's a new kind of brush.
That is the way it must be. There are many, many things you don't understand. Later you will know.
Well, now look, before you figure on getting hooked up to that chiseled chin character, I think there's a few things you ought to know about him.
But, Jeffrey, what do you mean?
Sit down a minute.
Orville spies from in the bushes.
Just to give you an idea what kind of a double-crossing hoodlum he really is, did you know... It's too fantastic. You'd never believe it.
Go on, Jeffrey. What happened?
Well, we're broke, see? And he sells me, his best friend, for $200. Practically gives me away. Did you know that?
Well, I thought you sold him.
That's the way he tells it. There's two sides to everything, you know.
But that's impossible. The men brought Orville to
me. Don't you see? They come to pick me up and they get him by mistake.
But I don't understand.
So you see, by rights, I should be in his spot. You should be marrying me instead of him. There's two sides to everything, you know. Hey! What's the big idea?
There's two sides to everything, you know.
Orville has slapped both Jeff's buttocks with his sword. The Sheik rides back into town.
Princess! Princess! He's here! Malik Kassim, he's here!
A princely figure in Arab dress enters through the curtains at the doorway. Shalmar rises and walks to meet the Sheik.
Malik Kassim, my lord.
Where is he, this dog?
Hold your anger, Kassim. Wait until you have heard.
I have already heard. It's whispered throughout the land that on the very day set for our wedding, you're planning to marry this American. Is it true? Tell me.
Yes, Kassim, it is true. But it is only because...
Enough! Come, Ahmed Kasper, let us find this man. Let us see the color of his liver. Let us hang his filthy carcass for the jackals to nibble at.
No, no, wait! First, you must hear the words of Haider Khan, the wise one.
Haider Khan? Very well, Shalmar. 5 more minutes does not matter in the life of a cockroach. Come.
He gives her his arm. An old man holds forth.
And it is here written in the stars, O Lion of the Desert, that the first husband of the Princess Shalmar will die a violent death within a week of the marriage.
What is that you say?
It is also written that her second husband will be blessed with long life and happiness.
Now do you understand? The American, as my first husband, will die within the week. Then, as the wise one said, I will be free to marry the man I love.
This is a great joke. It'll be told and retold as long as men live in Karamish.
Kasim enfolds Shalmar in his arms. Orville sits engrossed in a book entitled How to Make Love, Six Lessons from Madame Lazonga. He lowers the book, his eyes wide.
First time I ever saw steam heat in print.
Orville! Orville!
Just when it was getting interesting. Hello, hon.
Did you tell Jeffrey he's not to stay for the wedding? That we didn't want him here at all?
Well, I just hinted at it. I gave him a map and provisions for 3 months.
I can't understand why you don't like him. I think he's one of the nicest men I've ever met.
Oh, he's a nice fellow as nice fellows go, and why don't he?
Orville, there's something I must tell you. You know, this is a very strange country.
Yeah, like you running into me and buying me like I was a potato. And me baked ever since. Ho-hum.
No, I mean we have very strange customs. Very strange laws. For the first week of a marriage, a man and wife live separately.
Yeah, well,
It is a custom thousands of years old.
Oh, well, little customs, you make them, you break them, they come and they go. Did I ever tell you about Prohibition? We had
It has been so for thousands of years. There can be no other way.
Oh, well, honey, don't take on so. It's only a week.
Yes, only a week. Oh, Orville, when I look at you and think of our marriage, I can't help crying. You're so young. Much, much too young.
Oh, well, you don't have to worry about me, baby. I just read a book.
A mason is near completing a tombstone which reads, "To the loving memory of the 25th Prince of Karamish, His Serene Highness Orville Jackson." The born and died slots are blank.
Mr. Booker, come here. When was this American born? I can't finish his tomb until I have the date.
I don't know, Armin.
We don't know what we're doing. Another thing. I tell you we're making his coffin too small. Huh? I tried my wife in it this morning.
Her feet were hanging out. Well, what are we going to do? We're just guessing. If we're not careful, we are going to do a sloppy job.
While the American is still alive, why don't we measure him?
Oh, we couldn't do that. He would find out.
There are ways. There are ways. Come on.
The mason places a tarpaulin over the stone and beckons his colleague to go with him. Orville sits laboriously finishing tying his turban.
Right now I could use a hole in my head.
He grins in satisfaction. Then the turban uncoils all around his shoulders.
Could we disturb you, master?
Oh, sure, fellows. What do you want?
If it is not too much trouble, we would like to measure you.
Yeah, well, what for?
We're making something for you. It's a surprise.
Oh, something for the wedding.
No, master. This is for after the wedding.
Oh, sort of a male trousseau, huh?
Yes, master. Sort of a male trousseau.
Well, all right, fellas, go ahead. Measure away.
Thank you, master. It will be brief.
Waist 34.
Waist 34.
Say, you know, the princess kind of has an eye for beauty, so pretty me up. Sew in plenty of muscles. Make it zooty.
Do not worry, master. We will make you look even better than you do now.
Oh, thanks.
Chest normal, 41.
Chest normal, 41.
Chest expanded, 41.
Give me lots of room. I like to spread out.
Now perhaps the master would lie down.
Oh, certainly.
Orville lies flat on a couch.
5 feet, 11 inches overall.
5 feet, 11 inches overall.
Say, put a lot of padding in it, will you, fellas? I want it nice and comfortable. I don't want anything stiff.
I assure you, master, it will be no stiffer than yourself.
Well,
good day.
Good day, master. Good day.
Good day.
Oh, one question, master. What is the date of your birth?
Birth? What do you want that for? What's that got to do with...
It is for the record.
Oh, September 13th, 1913, on a Friday.
Thank you, master. We must go now. We have to carve it on that...
Carve it on? And what was that... business?
Orville! Those two men, what were they doing here?
Oh, they were measuring me for some sort of outfit.
Measuring you? Do you know who they are?
Well, I guess they're the royal dressmakers.
No, my beloved, no. They're royal undertakers.
Yeah, well, that's...
Yes.
You mean they were measuring me for a graveyard gabardine?
Jeff sits in the garden smoking his pipe.
Jeff. Hey, there you are. I've been looking everywhere for you. I gotta have a talk with you.
Now, look, Orvie, I've been doing a lot of thinking. The
There's no use of you and I talking or arguing anymore. I'm going to beat it on out of here.
No, that's it. You're not. You don't have to.
I admit I tried to cut in on you. I made a big play, but whatever you got, that Shalimar's going through with it.
No, that's all been changed.
Huh?
Well, I'm the guy that's shoving off. You know, I've been watching you two, and you're just made for each other. You look good together. You're just the right size. And you're taking her. See, I'm giving her to you.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, what are you cooking up here? The last gal you gave me was that lady wrestler up at the St. Nicholas Rink. What's behind all this?
Well, I got to thinking about the burying. I mean, the marrying, and I got a hunch it wouldn't last. I got a feeling in a week I'd be cold. I mean, and besides, I got a girl. I met mine.
Oh.
I got her at the harem right off the assembly line.
Nice model.
He's going to fly with me. My love will consume him thus. And thus, and thus.
Aunt Lucy!
You know, a girl can eat too much yeast.
But my very own.
Yeah, later. You know, you got to catch me when I'm in the mood for that sort of thing.
You ain't been out of it in 20 years. Well, this is a whole new shuffle, huh? You two. Wait till Shalimar hears about this.
Oh, yeah, but it's not going to be easy. You know, it's going to be a pretty tough assignment to get Shalimar to give me up.
That'll be a struggle.
But you can handle it, old boy, I'm sure. After all, you've got everything I've got, and you've had it many years longer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's only I got rid of mine.
Yeah, well, you...
It's going to just really tear the heart out of her to give you up, I guess. But I'll catch her sort of on the rebound. She might settle for me, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the spirit, and I'll be right behind you. I'm going to see you right through the end, old pal. I'm going to leave no stone unturned.
My beloved, why don't we fly right away?
Look, honey, why don't you just fly around and warm your motor up? I'll join you later.
Orville!
Jeff sleeps on a silken couch. Across the room, Orville lies asleep in a large carved bed. Aunt Lucy makes another apparition.
Orville, this is disgraceful. Disgraceful.
Shh.
Orville, I'm not going to let you do this dreadful thing to Jeffrey.
Shh.
Oh, you'll be the death of me yet.
Shh. Please, Aunt Lucy.
You've got to talk to him, Orville. You've got to tell him the truth.
But I ain't doing nothing. Look what he did to me.
Orville, I insist. If you don't tell him, I will.
But you can't talk to him. You're in my dream.
Oh, goodness gracious me, that's right. We're only allowed to be in one dream a week. Mr. Jordan doesn't like us to go around pestering people.
Well, I can understand that.
I've got to make him hear me. Jeffrey!
Shh!
Jeffrey! Jeffrey!
Shh!
Jeffrey!
Orville wraps her up in one of the drapes.
That'll show her.
Your feet are cold.
Haider Khan looks through a telescope.
You see, Master, wings. And more than that, they have legs.
Insects. Fireflies. By the heavens, what are they doing in my telescope?
I don't know. I haven't cleaned the lenses for a week.
Oh, dear. I must have mistaken these fireflies for Jupiter and Venus.
Oh, yes, Master. You've certainly gummed up the works.
Indeed, I have. My prophecies for the American's death were based on the fixed positions of Jupiter and Venus.
I don't know. This just doesn't add up. I want you, and you say you want me, and Orville says it's okay, and still you're going to marry him.
I told you, Jeffrey, it's something I can't explain. Orville and I are going to be married, and that's all I have to say.
Well, I've got something to say, too, see? We're not suited, see? I'm not in love with you anymore. I got another girl.
No more talk. Go to your room and prepare for the wedding.
I just got one thing to tell you, Princess. I'm going to my room and prepare for the wedding. Okay, fellas, who's got the dice?
Boy, he's a pep, isn't he? Brushing off a dream like you. Instead of a wedding, you'd think he was going to his own funeral.
Yes. Wouldn't you?
Princess. Oh, mistress of my life, listen and be merciful. I have made a calamitous error. You must not marry that American. You must marry Muley Kassim.
Muley Kassim?
Speak, I must hear everything.
You see, my princess, your life is influenced by the planets Jupiter and Venus. And so it is my painful duty to tell you what I've learned.
Orville sits, world wearily being beautified. A servant works his hair into a bizarre arrangement of curls.
You are indeed the favored one of Allah, O master. For to marry the princess, most men in Karamish would gladly die.
Yes,
that's what's worrying me.
So, you see, they turned out to be fireflies. I was wrong about everything.
Oh. Jeffrey, don't you see? Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, what's wonderful about it? Just means Turkey's back in circulation and you get tied up to Muley Kassim.
Muley Kassim. Oh, Jeffrey, you may feel strange about marrying a princess, but I'll spend the rest of my life trying to live it down.
You mean me? You mean... you and me? Is that what you mean?
Mistress!
Carter Khan? You see what your fireflies have done?
Well, how about this? Wait till I break the news to Doodlebug. So that's why little Orville was so anxious to hand you over to me, huh? I don't know how, but I think he got wind of this whole thing.
Well, don't say anything to him, Jeffrey. Not just yet.
Don't you worry about me. I'll handle him. Yeah, you see, Shalmar and I had a little talk, Orville, and we've decided to accept your generous offer.
Generous offer? What generous offer?
You giving me to her. She's decided to accept me. The guys are out there working on the nuptial knots right now.
No kidding! Boy, I knew you'd see it. You two, what a pair, hand in hand. Brother, you're gonna have the happiest week. I mean, what a marriage. Brother, you're gonna be in clover. Yes, sir, deep in clover.
Have you told me all?
Oh, Sheikh, I have told you what has befallen, trusting in your generosity to reward me.
Yeah.
You must hurry, a mighty one. When I left the palace, the princess and her consort were preparing to leave the country.
Cassim's warrior horsemen charge off through the desert. At the palace, Shalmar and Jeff are borne along on a ceremonial bier.
Hurry, hurry. There isn't too much time.
Hey, why don't you get some sense into your noggin and just you and me blow?
We're going to the United States to get hooked up, I tell you.
That's not going to save your life. That guy Hyder's Khan's got that jinx of his spread all over the world.
Oh, yeah? Let's see him mess around in Brooklyn.
Cassim's hordes arrive in the town. Shalmar's unit guard draw their swords.
Here comes Murder Incorporated.
Call me later.
Jeff slips under the silken drape on the bier. Cassim dismounts and strides across to Shalmar.
That is your plan, running away with this dog.
I could show a dog a few things about running right now. I'm not mixed up in this at all. I just work here. I'm just tending the gardens. These tulips need pruning. Have one?
You lied to Cassim.
No, but it's a big switch now. I gave her up. I'm on your side. I'm your friend. They're ducking out, any of the dirty double-crossers. What do you think we ought to do with them?
What is this?
Cassim goes back to the bier. He pulls back the drape, revealing Jeff.
Oh, there's another one.
It's nice going, Junior. Remind me to throw you a piece of cheese in the morning.
Cassim, I must...
Silence! Who is this goat? This moon-faced son of a one-eyed donkey?
I wouldn't let him call me that, even if there is a resemblance.
Listen here, big boy. Where do you come off cutting in here? Go on, go play cops and robbers someplace else. Beat it. Scat. Shoo.
Go on now, you're telling him. Go ahead, slap his teeth out. I'll hold your coat. Well, I'll hold your coat, too.
Cassim, please. Please!
Quiet! You would dare oppose the will of Cassim?
Oppose your will? I'll have you right in one if you mess with me, Jack.
Now you're talking. Go ahead, take a poke at him. We're not afraid of him. Are you?
Enough! You are coming with me. Caspar, take one of the girls for yourself.
Now, just a minute here.
Okay, pal, I'm with you.
He says she's going with him.
Oh, she's going with him.
He says she's going with him.
He make joke.
Funny boy.
patty cake, baker's bat. Baker cake is...
Cassim knocks their heads together and throws them down.
Yes, sir, Junior. That thing sure got around.
Yeah, and backed us.
Hey, Linda!
A fight breaks out. Shalmar flees. Orville and Jeff are right behind her. Cassim grabs Jeff, but Jeff floors him with a punch. A man grabs Shalmar. Orville knocks him down. They run up the stairs into the palace. Cassim and his men are in hot pursuit. Inside the palace...
This way.
Come on, Nepershaga's leper.
Okay, lover, head for cover.
Hurry, hurry.
Now, wait. You two girls hide in there. Quick, hurry up.
Oh, no.
Not you. We'll stay here and hold them off.
Yeah, we'll hold them off. Yeah. Who, us? Who are you kidding?
Don't hold me off.
They panic. Cassim's men arrive in the palace.
Come on, that way. Search the tower. Search the palace. I am Nepershaga.
In the antechamber to the boudoir, there are two new nodding heads.
Two of you in there.
The men search everywhere.
Come on, search your dog, search! My white stallion to the man who brings me their heads. Come on, Alain Erishad! They must learn what it means to incur the wrath of Mulai Cassim.
Place Moshuddin Huda.
They're not in here. There's no trace
of them. We have searched everywhere.
Highness, we cannot find them in here.
They cannot be far. We must find them and slit their throats.
Yes, your highness.
They shall die slowly. Their tongues shall be ripped out. Their ears shall be sliced off and dried on sticks.
Erham ya Amir.
Oh! Emsho! Dalai Shabab! Search the corridors!
We'll find them if we have to tear down the palace!
Yes, Your Highness!
Kasim is about to follow his men out, but pauses and turns thoughtfully. He walks back down the row of stone plinths and comes to stand by the final two, which are topped with the nodding heads of Orville and Jeff. He looks down pensively, then sharply back, trying to catch them out. Kasim converses with his second in command. Jeff casts a look to his left and realizes to his horror that Orville is desperately trying to dislodge a fly which has landed on his right cheek. Orville's face contorts comically as the fly continues its progress up and over his nose and towards his left eye. Jeff mugs also, seeming to expect the worst any second. The fly has now moved to the tip of Orville's nose. He grimaces and blows. Jeff blows likewise. Jeff returns to his rhythmic nodding as Orville is tormented closer and closer to sneezing point. Orville's sneeze smashes the plinth. Kasim turns angrily, grabs Jeff's plinth and smashes it to the floor.
Call him in! Ready, shot! Ready, shot! Stand up, you dog! So you thought you'd slip through my fingers, eh? Step after him! Get the horses ready!
Here! I was just going for a room to sweep this stuff up, that's all.
Well, I, Kasim, I'll take care of you in the desert. Hela, Hela! Away!
And Lucy!
Alena, Elisha! Alena!
A long line of horses crests a large desert dune. At the head of the line, Kasim rides, holding Shalmar in his arms. Behind him is his lieutenant, who clasps the servant girl. At the rear are three lumbering camels. The last camel has, slung across its back, a coarse net in which dangle on one side of the animal Orville and on the other Jeff. It is clearly not much of a way to travel.
I never thought I'd wind up in a camel snood. A fine pal you are, letting me give her up, and all the time you knew you weren't gonna die. That's what's killing me, you weren't even gonna die.
Yeah, well, give me credit, that's pretty hard to do, beating you and the embalmer.
A horseman draws alongside them, takes out his scimitar and cuts them down, leaving them where they fall on the hot sand as the cavalcade moves on.
Like the morning mail. RFD. Look, they're leaving us. All alone out here in the desert. No food, no water, no nothing.
The pair struggle to their feet, toppling over, but then righting themselves again.
Well, come on, let's start the sack race. Where do we go?
Let's hop over the hill and see what's doing.
Must be a gas station somewhere around here.
They hop away comically side by side. Sometime later, they have liberated themselves from the netting. Orville, however, continues to hop.
Hey, what are you still hopping for? We've been out of those nets all day.
I know, but I want to keep my watch going. Say, how did we get loose with our hands and feet tied and everything?
If we told anybody, they'd never believe it.
Oh, let's not tell them, huh?
Shh. Proceed.
They sidestep the camera. They continue across the wilderness.
See anything?
Nothing.
Come on, courage, boy.
Courage, he says. Look at that. You know what they are, don't you? They're buzzards.
Yeah. They're carrying finger bowls, too.
Fine way to end up a box lunch for a bird.
Turkey! Look!
Hey, what's a drive-in doing in the middle of the desert?
I'm no quiz, kid. Come on, let's eat.
Well, I'll force something.
A diner sits atop a dune.
Hey, toss us a couple of mugs of Java.
We got our own sugar.
Two tall double-dip hamburgers.
Not too well done, please.
And a couple of mile-high beers.
Hey, it's moving. We gotta grab it.
Hey, come back.
Wait a minute.
Yoo-hoo. Hey!
Orville shakes his head.
Hey, what's this now you see it, now you don't stuff?
We might have known. It's a mirage.
It sure was a good one. I could even smell the onions. Come on, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, me too.
They stop dead. A mirage of Shalmar rises from the sand.
Moonlight becomes Shalmar. You. It goes with your hair. You
said she must have been visiting a gopher friend.
The right thing to wear. Moonlight becomes you. I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight. Although moonlight becomes you so.
Jeff prepares to sing.
Moonlight becomes you.
It goes with your hair. You certainly know the right thing to wear.
Orville strokes her sleeve. She starts to sing.
Moonlight becomes you.
Jeff sings.
I'm thrilled at the sight.
Now Orville.
And I could get so romantic tonight.
Jeff winces. Shalmar sings.
I'm all dressed up to go dreaming.
No, don't tell me I'm wrong.
And what a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along?
If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight. I know moonlight becomes you so.
Orville and Jeff end up kissing each other as she fades away.
Shalmar needs a shave. Well, that's an omen. We gotta find the girls and save them from that wolf Cassian. Come on.
They turn and trudge back the way they came. On top of a dune.
I don't know, pal. I don't know whether I can make it. My legs feel like they're cut off near my Adam's apple.
I guess that kiss took too much out of you, huh? Yeah. Come on, get aboard.
Jeff gives Orville a piggyback.
If I'm too heavy, I'll throw my hat away.
Yeah, leave your head in it, huh?
They arrive at a grove of palm trees. Seeing water, Orville rushes forward.
Hey, come on! Water! Water! This is a bit of all right, eh, Watch?
How about this?
Well!
What are you doing?
My radiator's dry. Oh.
One thing about it, where there's water, there's life. People, all we gotta do is follow
Doctor,
the stream.
Oh, there's a herring.
Come along, Buster. Come along, come along, come along.
A small cluster of dark Bedouin tents sits in the desert sand. A few people move around. Jeff and Orville observe from behind a clump of bushes.
What do you make of it?
I don't know. We better take it easy till we find out just whose joint it is, huh?
Might be a camel motel.
Cassim's horsemen swoop into the camp.
Hey, those guys, those are Mully Kasim's guerrillas.
Yeah, and that joint must be their hideout, huh? We gotta save the girls. It's up to us now, Turkey. We'll have to storm the place.
You storm. I'll stay here and drizzle.
I got something that can't miss.
So have they. Guns.
Now look. Now listen to every word, see? We don't have to wait for night, see? We just go up under the place and we get the thing.
Orville's eyes widen as Jeff whispers his plan. Camels and horses doze in the sand. A sentry runs up to another one.
There's no one.
I tell you, there were two men in the horse lines. When they ran away, I shot at them.
Ah, you've been drinking Kulash again.
Away to the right of the two sentries stands a narrow tent like a Punch and Judy booth. Inside are Orville and Jeff.
You think you know we're here?
We're still wearing our heads, are we?
That was the dopiest idea I ever heard. You thinking you could skin a horse and put me inside. How would I look being a horse?
Just the same.
Look, we gotta get back to where we started from and wait till dark. Let's go.
Okay.
Lifting the central pole between them, they walk the tent away comically up the dune. Inside Cassim's tent, warriors sit around a central carpet watching two wrestlers in combat. Cassim and his lieutenant sit on a raised dais with the women. Jeff and Orville totter along beneath their tent.
I think we just went through a red light.
They move back down the slope towards the camp.
I'd feel better if we had a periscope.
You trust me? Now I got a great sense of direction. Great.
They walk their tiny tent through the entrance to Cassim's huge one. Kasim rises as onto the central carpet walk the two hapless Americans in their canvas disguise. The wrestlers finally notice and break off.
You think we're still okay?
Sure. We were headed due north.
North, huh?
Yeah. Don't look now, Junior, but I think we're standing on a rug.
Kasim gestures to one of his men who crosses to the tent and whacks Jeff and Orville's protruding feet with a scimitar. The tent is pulled off.
It is those pigs!
Jerry! Orville! Don't stand there! Hurry! Run!
Take them outside and bring me back their ears. Oh, wait. There must be no shedding of blood on our wedding night.
Hey, did you hear that? Wedding.
I stopped listening when he said blood.
Lock them up!
Look out! We just had this pressed. Let's not be vulgar, bully.
In a rudimentary prison.
Fine thing. First you sell me for $200, then I'm going to marry the princess, then you cut in on me. Then we're carried off by a desert sheik, now we're going to have our heads chopped off.
I know all that.
Yeah, but the people who came in the middle of the picture don't.
You mean they missed my song?
They both peer through the prison bars. A horde of black-clad horsemen ride into the camp.
Who's that? Who are they?
That's the great sheik, Nebjola, and his men.
Friend of Kasim's?
No, the enemy of Kasim. For 10 years, they have been at war, but tonight Kasim has invited him to his wedding as a token of peace. But I do not trust either one of them.
Halt! You ought to take something for your throat.
What have you got there?
I've brought food for these men. They have not eaten. It cannot matter when it is their last night to live.
Very well, give it to them through the window.
Any word from the governor?
Shh! Now listen carefully. In this bowl, there's a magic ring from the princess. With it, you can make 3 wishes. Perhaps it'll help us all to escape.
Oh, what good's a ring? Why don't you bake us a cake with a file in it?
Shh. The ring will not work for everybody. If we are fortunate, it might work for you, Jeffrey. Should it fail, lift the jewel and inside you will find poison. For 2. Here.
What is this talking? Go on. Keep going.
Goodbye, honey. Don't forget to write. Just send it to the dead letter office. Poison.
Jeff pulls the ring out from his bowl of food.
3 wishes, all right. Start the acamaracus. Come on, ring. Boy, you ring. Come on, get the 4 of us out of here.
They stare cynically at the ring.
Magic ring. What does she think we are, a couple of chowder heads?
No pictures, huh?
Nothing.
Well, get the poison pills. Let's get it over with, huh?
Over here, huh? There they are.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, pal, and I'll shoot you one of these concentrated Mickeys.
Wait, wait. What's the matter with me shooting them to you?
Well, you don't want to fall and get a big knot in your head. I got to stay behind and hold you up.
No, no, I'll stay behind and hold you up.
Just for me, huh?
Yeah.
Don't let me fall too hard.
Huh?
Set the table, Aunt Lucy. There'll be 2 more for dinner. Boy, I sure wish I had a drink.
Junior! Junior, it worked!
Hey.
How about that? The magic ring, it worked on you.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Orville turns into a chimp, still clutching the drink.
Jeff, I'm back. Jeff, I did it. I'm back. Boy, for a minute, I thought I only had a one-way ticket.
Hey.
What am I doing?
Huh? You know, I think I liked you better the other way.
Yeah.
Well, you've used up our last wish. We'll never get out of here.
Oh, stop worrying. I'll think of something.
That's what I'm afraid of.
What's going on here?
Oh, nothing. Say, did anybody ever escape from this jail?
Once, about a year ago. 2 men got out.
Oh, yeah? Tell me, chum, how'd they do it?
It was an accident. To light a cigarette, I placed my rifle in the window like this.
Hello.
Oh, interesting. And then what happened?
One of the fellas reached through the window, grabbed the rifle, and pointed it at me.
Oh, you mean like this?
Exactly. Oh. Except that he put it right up against my head.
Well, you mean like this?
Yes.
What's wrong?
Yes.
Put him up.
What?
You heard me?
Come on, give us those keys, fast.
Hurry or we'll spread you.
Ahmed, we have done it again.
Onto the central carpet in Kasim's tent runs a scantily clad dancer to entertain the guests. She performs a bizarre pastiche of belly dancing and African tribal dance. Kasim looks on with approval from the dais. The dancer takes a scimitar from one of Cassim's men and shimmies across the carpet with it held high. Another of his men grabs it back from her and flips it back to its owner. Through the flap of the tent door, two camels poke their heads. Jeff and Orville appear, dressed in the borrowed garb of their jailers. Shalmar notices them and gestures to them. They respond with eager smiles and disappear back out through the door. The dancer continues a kind of sword dance with the two men. Jeff prizes jewels from a metal goblet with a small knife and bores holes with its point.
Say, I don't get the setup. What's frying?
Cooking up some small sabotage here. You know what happened? One of the throats in no time. A little internal dissension.
Oh, I get it. Divide and conquer. Brother against brother.
Yeah.
Sort of an Arabian Gestapo?
You got it, Tyrone. He hasn't missed yet. Then we grab the gals and cut out. Here, hold this a minute, will you?
Allez.
Jeff hands Orville the goblet and crosses to stand behind one of Cassim's guards. Jeff filches two rifle cartridges from the man's bandolier and returns, holding one of them between his teeth.
Hey, what are you going to do with that?
Look and learn.
Orville, intrigued, follows Jeff over to a table where two men sit rolling big cigarettes. Jeff sprinkles gunpowder over the tobacco.
Hey, what are you doing, making reefers?
This'll give him that lift.
I got a pip.
Orville walks off, leaving Jeff casually sprinkling gunpowder onto the table unchallenged. The dancer now gyrates as the men juggle their scimitars between them. Orville steps up behind the musicians and filches a kind of Arabic clarinet, which he hides in his robes. Orville furtively crosses to the cooking area and, taking a pair of bellows, screws the clarinet onto the nozzle. Jeff joins him. Orville signals to explain his thinking.
What now? Brilliant. Good boy. Where's the dribble glass?
Here, slip in the drip.
Drip.
Jeff reacts to this gratuitous jibe but walks off. Orville follows, concealing his improvised air horn beneath his burnoose. The dancers conclude with a flourish. Orville sneaks up behind the dais. He gets the attention of Shalmar and hands her the air horn. Cassim prepares to address the great Sheikh Nemjola.
Nemjola, so great is my joy tonight that I wish to share it with you. May our tribes live together in peace for 1,000 years.
My hand on that cassock. You are fortunate indeed to win the love of so beautiful a princess.
She cannot wait for my kisses upon her lips. Can you, my dove?
Cassim, you shall soon know how I feel about you.
There, you hear?
Yeah.
Nemjola is handed a goblet and gets to his feet.
I drink to my friend who was my enemy, and to the eternal peace that has come between us.
Shalmar slips the air horn beneath a cushion on Nemjola's seat.
I drink to that, and also to the beauty of my bride-to-be.
As Nemjola raises the sabotaged goblet to his lips, liquid runs out through the holes and onto his sumptuous costume. Shalmar giggles. Nemjola glares at the goblet and then at Cassim.
My apologies, O great Sheikh. It's an accident. There must be a hole in the goblet.
Yes, I see there is. I trust you do not do this as a joke, do you?
Oh, my friend. My very dear friend.
Happy 4th of July.
Orville takes from Jeff a dish of the explosive cigarettes and crosses to offer them to Nemjola, keeping his face averted. Nemjola, seemingly mollified, takes one of the cigarettes. A servant gives him a light. Puffing out his chest, he slowly sits back down. He stands up, his expression angry. He sits down again. Only Cassim's men are laughing.
Cassim, what is the meaning of this? What's going on here?
My friend, I give you my assurances. Eat, drink, music. Let us all be like brothers.
Cigarettes explode all over the place.
Do you bring us here to make fools of us? Do you?
I tell you, this is no doing of mine. Be of good faith. There will be no more.
Hey, I see.
Listen, tell me, sir. You must be calm.
Cassim! When will these outrages cease?
Nemjola, please. Patience. I humble myself at your feet in apology.
Come, come, sit down.
This is the screwiest picture I was ever in.
The last comment came from the cunningly animated lips of one of the camels. Jeff and Orville, clutching bunches of tapers, hunch down and crawl beneath the feasting table. Two of Nemjola's men angrily reject the offer of fresh cigarettes. At ground level, Jeff and Orville insert lengths of taper between the toes of Nemjola's men and proceed to light them. They exchange conspiratorial glances.
Christina,
if it weren't for my master for these insults, we would tear you to shreds.
But believe us, we are as mystified as you.
We came here to eat, not to be mystified.
That's right.
The tapers burn down. Sharma turns to Namjola.
Do not trust him. His is an empty gesture of friendship.
One by one, Namjola's men leap from the table, shaking and clutching their scorched toes.
Namjola, I'm at a loss to understand.
Kasim, why do you persist on playing these pranks?
It is just as much a surprise to us as it is to you. Please forget about the whole thing.
Your Highness, I give you my assurance.
I am trying to control myself, but my patience cannot last. Yes.
Namjola, I tell you.
Orville has set fire to Namjola's robes.
Water!
Jeff sloshes a pan of water in Namjola's face.
Enough! This is war!
Namjola reaches for a flaming torch and ignites Kasim's jacket. Kasim leaps into the arms of his lieutenant. The two sheiks fight. Orville pulls the trigger of a guard's rifle. Jeff and Orville clasp their hands in ironic delight at the total mayhem they have unleashed. Kasim and Namjola tumble together off the dais. The camels look on.
When I see how silly people behave, I'm glad I'm a camel.
Oh, I'm glad you're a camel too, Mabel.
The male camel rolls his eyes expressively. Jeff, Orville, and the two women make their escape from the chaos. Emerging from the tent, they cut through the guy ropes. The huge spans of canvas descend and envelop the warring factions inside. The two women jump onto horses.
Hurry up!
Let's go. Come on, I'll race you.
The men ride pillion. The horses' hooves pound across the desert sands. The pistons of a steam locomotive pump forcefully. A steamer crosses the ocean. The foursome, all in Western dress, now barring their incongruous turbans, stand on the deck.
This thing pinches me a little. You got another one?
Yeah.
It won't be long before we're seeing little old New York. 3 long years we've been waiting to get back.
Yep, I'm going to grab a piece of the good old USA and eat it. Something down around New Orleans.
You know, Jeffrey, I get the strangest feeling that we've been through all of this before.
Looks like I trapped you again. And get me, this time I'm bringing home the bacon too, and what a slab.
Orville, then the answer's yes?
Yes, but don't think I'm marrying you for her money.
Why are you marrying me?
I'll think of something. Say, I want the Statue of Liberty to be proud of me, so I think I'll powder my nose.
I don't think it'll help.
It becomes you. It goes with your hand.
Orville stops by a hatch door marked Powder Room. He lights himself a cigarette and then goes inside. All four now sit raggedly on a raft, seemingly in mid-ocean.
I can't go on. No food, no water. It's all my fault. We're done for. It's got me. I can't stand it. No food. No nothing. No food. No water. No food.
What's the matter with you anyway? There's New York. We'll be picked up in a few minutes.
You had to open your big mouth, ruin the only good scene I got in the picture. I might have won an Academy Award.
The end.